Hello, it's me. I'm in California dreaming about going out to eat. Just a burger with cheese. Or a shaken margarita, baby, back ribs from Chili's. Hello, can you hear me? I am shouting out to neighbors who I used to like to see when we were outside and free. Is there something else to watch besides the news and Finding Dory? The social distance between us, and I'm freaking out. It's just me and myself and I, and a stay home order that's breaking my heart, but it's clearly what we should have done from the start. Hello from Corona Live. I FaceTime call. What's the point of putting on pants anyhow anymore?
Enjoy the satire. Hello.
How are you?
How are you? No, this is not, what's her name? The chick from England that sang the original version of this song. Jeff Bennett here with another installment of The Edge of Darkness, but we're going to try to lighten it up a little bit today. Don't ask me why. I posted this on this. My sister or somebody sent this to me today. The satiric opening piece we've just listened to, and I made a comment. When I posted it on Federal Observer, I mean, you can see the whole thing. It's fairly lengthy, 4.5 minutes. And my comment was, are you tired of these daily videos, in your case, audios, yet? My comment was, I'm not. Thank God that there's some humor and laughter in this world over this nonsense. Hallelujah. Oh, baby, I'm digging it. And what I'm referenced to, I am seeing more positive attitudes with people on the street. I had to go to the bank today, and don't even get me started with the bank, but I get to the bank, and I'm, you know, second in line. You got to stand 6 feet apart. They got little pictures of footprints out on the sidewalk that are they're all taped down with clear on them, and when you get inside the bank, there's orange tape. You got to be 6 feet apart. I want to know when I go to the parking lot that they don't make people park in every other parking space, you know. And one guy gets out of his car, and he's like fourth in line. And he's just a real nervous sort. He's used to getting his way. And the guy at the door tells him, he said, well, sir, what's your purpose for being here? He says, I need money. Well, you know, you can get your car. You go around. There's nobody in the drive-thru right now. And the guy didn't understand it. He was an idiot. And the next thing I know, after a little while of pacing back and forth and, you know, having to wait to get into the bank, he goes back out to his car. And I thought, well, maybe he's going to go ahead and hit the drive-thru. No, he's in there reaching, looking for something. And he comes back out. And by this time, I'm inside. The lady that was behind me was inside. She and I are starting to laugh about this. We're chatting. I've never met her before. And we're talking, and a couple of people that were already in line at the bank were just really, really slow. They had nonsensical things that were taking, were time consuming. And so I just said something to the manager. I said, as he comes back to check on things, I said, when he went away, why don't you go tell him he's got to get to the back of the line, because, you know, and manager kind of laughs. Well, then after a while, people start moving up, and he reaches out and looks at the guy and says, hey, you got out of line. You got to go to the back of the line. And I butt fell on a tree. And then he looks at the guy who's got this look of shock in his face, says, no, I was just teasing you. Come on, you're in next. But most of the people are just, they're just being kind to each other. It's the ones in the grocery stores that are near the toilet paper that, you know, and the alcohol and the Clorox that are being jerks. But what do you do? So, you know, we open up this piece today called Hello from the Inside. It's a parody of an Adele piece. And kind of funny, and to some degree I get tired of them, but awful lot of stuff to post, so why not have some fun with it? Hey, let's, I got a question to ask. Can any of you out there explain to me who in the living hell Bill Gates is? And why he thinks he's so damned important? I mean, I'd heard rumors that maybe he was one of the patent holders of the you know, COVID-19 or whatever. This guy is now standing up. This is Microsoft founder and billionaire philanthropist Bill Gates. Yesterday called for a nationwide shutdown, arguing that it would be the most effective way to combat the spread of the coronavirus. Tells the Washington Post, he writes in the Washington Post, he has spoken with experts through his work with his charity who said that a national policy would be more effective over having a hodgepodge. What do you mean, call ended? Oh, call started. Oh, it scared the hell out of me. I looked up at my Skype thing and it looked like we'd been disconnected. My error. It's too far away. I can't see that clearly. But Gates is maintaining that a shutdown anywhere means a shutdown everywhere. He argues the country needs a consistent nationwide approach to shutting down. Despite urging from public health experts, some states and counties haven't shut down completely. In some states, beaches are still open, and others, restaurants still serve sit-down meals. This is a recipe for disaster, Gates goes on, because people can travel freely across state lines. So can the virus. You know, I may or may not disagree with some of those statements. It's time to stop shutting the country down. People have got to live. My wife is not going to be able to go back to work until late July, early August, if the damn schools open up by then. Now, my granddaughter got a note on her school computer today informing her that they're going to have to retake this entire year. This entire year of schooling, her sophomore year of high school, is going to have to be taken all over again. Except that it turned out to be, well, and allegedly, the governor had issued this statement, governor of Arizona, and yet it turned out that it was an April Fool's Day joke, and I thought that was great. And I just started laughing so hard because we need some laughter. We need some sunshine. We need something better to look at and to talk about and discuss. I make no doubts about it, no bones about it, my friends, that over the last 2 weeks on this program, The Edge of Darkness, that I've been doing some pretty dark, heavy-hitting programs. Now, you may or may not consider them to be heavy-hitting, but they've been quite dark. I'm not a happy camper with the direction of this nation. I think there's more lies, more deceit, more hanky-panky going on that is setting us all up for the final takeover. You know, I got a phenomenal piece today from Granny. Come on, open up, sucker. And I've got things that I shut down while I'm on the air because I don't really want to be disturbed with emails popping up. There's something in my computer now that the email lay down there, but every so many minutes or, you know, every 20, 30 minutes, all of a sudden the whole email thing will just open up, whether there's anything in there or not. So, okay, the first thing is we don't care about Bill Gates. The hell with him. You know, this guy's been such a con artist to begin with. Massive, big time. The garbage this man has pulled on the people. And we're hearing more and more rumors that Governor Fredo out of New York, Cuomo, has got a bigger pair and is allegedly more aligned with what the Democratic Party is looking for that there's now an attempt to draft him and dump Biden. Well, the idea of dumping Biden wouldn't be so darn bad, you know. Well, I had some other stuff, a couple of headlines I was going to just throw at you, but I'm not going to do it, okay? What do we got here? Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. That guy never called back. Oh, well. You know, I got an email yesterday after the program. Right toward the end of the program. Guy says, I missed your phone number to text to. Call me at such and such a number. And I said, I'll need a short time. I've got another call to make. And I finally tried to get back to him. Went right to voicemail. Never responded to my emails, my texts, my nothing. So, you know, I don't know what folks are looking for. But, Frank, if you're out there and you're listening tonight, you can give me a call after the program tonight if you still want to talk. That's the key. We've got a couple of oddball things. We've had some boxes of 1 ounce silver available. We've got plenty of gold available. Of a mixed variety. We've got some 1 ounce specimens, Krugerrands, Eagles, etc. The prices aren't all that great, but you know, you're dealing with true supply and demand. Speaking of markets, let's get to it. Now I want to get on what I want to talk about during this program today, and I want to take it in a different direction. People, we have got some opportunities taking place in this country right now today. That are some of the greatest opportunities I've witnessed in this country in more years than I can even count. Well, I haven't gone that stupid yet. I mean, I can count all the way back to when I was born, and from a historical standpoint, I could count back before that. But you'll understand what I'm talking about in a few minutes. Dow Jones Industrial and the S&P 500 just logged the worst start to a quarter in history. Because investors are finally waking up and they're beginning to brace for very, very painful weeks or months or God knows how much longer. Dow Jones Industrial down 973 today to close at 20,943. S&P 500 down 114 points, each of them. And NASDAQ down 340 points at 7,360. The Dow, the S&P, and NASDAQ all down nearly 4.5%. Wow. Global Dow down 22.22%. Gold up $13.90. Oh, whoop-de-doo. Oil, my goodness, oil all of a sudden took a big jump, up 95 cents a barrel today. It's still down nearly two-thirds of where its peak was a couple of years ago, and only the good folks down in the South are getting advantage of low gasoline prices. My good friends. Unbelievable. Governor Fredo says 16,000 New Yorkers could die from the coronavirus. Well, in the words of the old song, get it on. Let's get it on. Rhodium down about $500 a day to close at $6,500 an ounce. Palladium off $5 at $2,185. Platinum down $1 at $720. This is all per ounces. Silver up 11 cents in the close of the market at $13.97. Gold up $1.60 at $15.95. Don't try to buy the stuff at that point unless you want to buy Wall Street gold and silver, sometimes known as, well, all times known as paper. You get a hold of a Wall Street broker and you think for a minute that they could care about selling you real gold and silver? Of course not. And they're not going to. And the reason they're not going to is because they don't make enough money off of it. Unbelievable. Okay, Bennett, so what's all this good news you want to talk about tonight? The song that Ann Murray sang many years ago, called A Little Good News Today. Michael, actually, if you could do some digging around, Ann Murray was the singer, and the song was called A Little Good News Today. That might not be a bad piece to close the program with tonight. Coronavirus. We, my friends, have collectively become so programmed in this nation to believe that education and schooling are synonymous, that we cannot possibly imagine learning without schooling. We become frazzled and fearful when schools are shut down. Well, maybe we learned something interesting here. Coronavirus reminds us of what education without school can look like. And I like the way it's looking. Oh, well, there's some difficulty. I mean, you've got the writer of this piece, who I absolutely adore. She's just phenomenal. Carrie McDonald, who writes predominantly for Foundation for Economic Education, but all of her work is pretty well carried also on Intellectual Takeout, a marvelous education site. And I think she's got something a little wrong. How many people we got living in this country? 330 million or something like that, and 338 million. I don't know what it is. We know the 30 to 40 of them are illegals, no matter what age they are. But she made a little bit of a reference that some 300 million children are currently missing class. But that's obviously, that number can't be proper. You see, this global outbreak, this, and maybe 300 million around the world, I don't know. But this outbreak of this corny virus has closed more schools for weeks and sometimes months. Ours will not open for the rest of the school season. So, you know, there are some people in the country that their school gets out in June. Ours normally get out in May, about a month before. But then our kids go back about a month earlier here in Arizona. But look who's missing class. And you got parents and educators and policymakers are panicking. Oh my God, for every day that a kid doesn't sign in to show that he was there, even though it's through computer, the school loses money. From the Fed, from the state, everything. I see, it's all about money. So in other words, my granddaughter is at home, and she gets an email from a teacher. She has to sign in and basically check herself off that she was in class. That's it. They don't have much of any homework, nothing. So long as she does that, the school gets credit for being present and gets money. Whether the kid learns anything or not is another story. And I'm sitting here saying, my God, I'm loving this. Think about this. Mass compulsory schooling has become such a cornerstone of contemporary culture that we forget it's a relatively recent social construct. Responding to the pandemic, the United Nations declares that the global scale and speed of current educational disrupted is unparalleled, and if prolonged, could threaten the right to education. No, Mr. and Mrs. United Nations, it might threaten the right of your educators to continue to indoctrinate our children. That's the plus coming out of this. We have collectively become so programmed to believe that education and schooling are synonymous that we cannot imagine learning without schooling. We become frazzled and fearful when schools are shut down, but if nothing else, perhaps this worldwide health scare will remind us that schooling is not inevitable and so-called education does not need to be confined to a conventional classroom. Maybe you got a living room, you got a family room, maybe you got a kitchen or a dining room table. Let's make this your new classroom for your children, your grandchildren, maybe in some cases your great-grandchildren. I don't suspect we got a lot of 20, 25-year-old, 30-year-old people listening to these programs. I don't know. I have no clue. I mean, my good buddy Buck called me about an hour ago, and Buck is like I am. He ain't no youngin'. It's great to hear from you, Buck. My friends, for most of human history, up until the mid-19th century, education was broadly defined. It was somewhat diversely offered. It was never dominated by standard schooling, or what we now look upon as standard schooling. Something called homeschooling was the default. I mean, not that it was a two words turned into one. We schooled our children at home. Parents assumed the responsibility for their children's education. But they weren't the only ones teaching them. Some are small, what we're going to call dame schools or nursery schools in a neighbor's kitchen. Back in the day, they were common throughout the American colonial and revolutionary eras. Tutors were ubiquitous. Apprenticeships were valued and sought after. And by the way, literacy rates were extremely high. Public schools came into existence to supplement education for families that wanted them, but they did not yet wield enough significant power and influence. Now, the Puritan colonists passed the first compulsory education laws in, no surprise, Massachusetts Bay. This took place back in the 1640s. And they described a state interest in an educated citizenry and were compelling towns of a certain size to hire a teacher or to open a grammar school. But the compulsion rested with towns to provide educational resources to the families who wanted them, not with the families themselves. Historians Castle and Vinovskis explained that the Puritans saw that, quote, these schools as supplements to education within the family. And they made no effort to require parents actually to send their children to a school rather than train them at home, end quote. But then you see that all began to change in 1852 when Massachusetts passed the nation's first compulsory schooling statute, mandating school attendance under a legal threat of force. And writing in the book Pillars of the Republic, Castle reminded us that society educates in many ways. The state educates through the schools. And we begin to understand why we see organizations like Antifa, why we have the snowflakes running around this country whining. By the way, speaking of Antifa, I witnessed existence of the first reference to Antifa in quite some weeks. On a news headline I saw, and I can't remember what it was about, but let's just say it wasn't pleasant. Oh, I know what it was. Antifa wants to begin to gather once again to kill every single cop they can possibly kill in this country. Would that not be marked as a threat? You're going to strictly blame the one guy who made the statement, who had a black hood on and, you know, the black mask and their usual, you know, Halloween costumes they wear. My friends, we already have glimpses of what education without schooling could look like. 11 days of last October, the Chicago teachers' strike shut down the public schools for 11 days. Civil society stepped up to fill in the gaps. Community organizations such as the Boys and Girls Clubs opened their door during the daytime to local youth. The aquarium, local museums offered special programming. Church and religious organizations welcomed young people with tutoring and enrichment activities. Public libraries and parks were populated with families. The federal school lunch program continued to nourish children in need. Yeah, most of that food I don't call nourishment, but that's another story. The same pattern repeats itself during the summer school vacation every year. Various community organizations, local businesses, public spaces such as libraries and parks offer educational and recreational experiences for young people. You don't teach by dictating. No, that's not called teaching. That's called indoctrinating. I look back to a good number of the teachers that I had when I was going to school in the 50s. Oh, yeah, some things that begin to change. My art teacher was, my God, probably in her 70s or 80s, Mrs. Bursine. Mrs. King, my first grade teacher, I can never remember the name of the kindergarten teacher. All she would do is sit down after our little playtime and get on the piano, a baby grand piano or whatever it was, and hit the keys, da, da, da. Da, 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 you know, sound like the NBC logo? No, to her it was clean up time, clean up time. We were being taught a degree of responsibility in K-12 kindergarten. Do you think that kind of stuff goes on today? Probably not. Mrs. King, my first grade teacher, remained a lifelong family friend. And we would, she wound up living in a house two doors away from us. And it was an absolute joy to see her every time I saw her. I can see her, but I cannot remember the name of my second grade teacher. No, I can't. Third grade teacher, she was hot. Mrs. Otis. Third grade. I knew this woman was drop-dead gorgeous. Yeah, and you know what? She's a good teacher, too. And fourth grade, I go to a different school, and I get Miss Les and Miss B. Their friend Ann wasn't there. I know these two gals were, yeah, funny stuff. But good teachers, good educators. By fourth grade, we were starting to get into the move around from class to class thing. Fifth grade was pretty much in Adair's class. He was the greatest teacher I ever had. How many of you can walk back the names of all your teachers? Mrs. Snyder, my music teacher throughout elementary and junior high school. And then we had Bob Evans. Once into junior high school, I had Bob Evans. And we're not talking about down on the farm with his sausage and all that stuff. This guy was a real twisted soul. Philip Meyer, an absolutely foul, arrogant, physically abusive seventh grade history teacher who finally was forced to leave because he was physically abusive to students. I still have a knot in my head that he stuck there when I was in the seventh grade. Bill Wareheim, who's a lifelong friend, and not that we're all that close, because I don't really associate with the people I went to school with. I've been away from that life for well over 60 years, and I just don't need it. And Bill and Phil Meyer and a couple of the guys, we all kind of went to the same school, were on Facebook chatting about some of the stuff last week, got into a real in-depth discussion about Meyer. And it's nobody forgets that guy. But I look at the history teacher, Mr. Timmons, the absolutely extremely handsome, good-looking math teacher that all the girls just had the hots for. One of them in the seventh grade started stuffing her bra and trying to make herself look a little bit more adult for this teacher, you know. Mr. Levin, our science teacher, a man who'd suffered polio when he was a kid. What an amazing science teacher. I learned more with him through with biology and so many different things. And I can keep on going through high school, but I became more and more bored by the junior year. And by December or by the third week of my senior year, I said, that's it. I saw enough into what was beginning to happen in the school system, and I walked out. I didn't just walk out. I joined the military. And I was in for a 4.5-year education of another type. But the fact of the matter is that each family right now has the opportunity to do some things for their family and their children and grandchildren and greats and other kids within their local area that they may know. Understand that the children and adolescents need to be enclosed within a conventional school classroom in order to learn. That's a myth. Humans are hardwired to learn. Young children are exuberant and creative and curious learners who are passionate about exploration and discovery. You and I have that ability to share that with them, and more willingly than the paid educators in the public school system. Oh, I'm sorry, are some of you folks out there possibly teachers that are offended by this? Think about the way things were a long time ago. These are things that one's got to consider. Give some time on that. We're going to take a break in just a moment, and we're going to pick up on this, okay? Stick around. Hello to Corona Life. The saints stay home till July. Jesus Christ Almighty, can you please send me strength? I'm so sick and tired.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cybercrimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With PatriotInternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, PatriotInternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from PatriotInternet.com. Visit PatriotInternet.com today.
How would you like to earn an extra $10,000 or more a month from the comfort of your home? We show you how to win with a home-based business opportunity. This could be one of the best financial decisions you ever make. Work from home, full-time or part-time. Plus, you'll never have to talk to anyone. Our professional sales team closes all your sales for you, and you keep 70% of all the sales made. You could be earning money while you're sleeping, shopping, working out, wherever you are, day or night. Our system goes to work for you. You can make a great income without any special computer skills or sales training. Plus, you get paid fast, within just 24 to 48 hours after our professional sales team closes a sale for you. Let us help you eliminate your financial concerns. You could be earning enough money to pay off debt, buy a house, a car, or whatever the case may be. We've got you covered. If you'd like to add an extra $10,000 or more a month to your portfolio, and you would like to know exactly what we're doing and how we're doing it, go now to www.getstartedwithus.com. That's www.getstartedwithus.com. Again, that's www.getstartedwithus.com.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Hello from self-quarantine. I'm begging Amazon to please, after sending more soap, can you please figure out how to send a box of my friends to my house? I'm so bored.
I gotta tell you this. I think that the producer working the boards tonight is having more enjoyment out of this piece of music. First time I've ever been opening a program with a piece of music that he just wants to keep playing during the breaks. It's hilarious. It's a, what do you want to call it? It's just kind of a takeoff of the Adele song called Hello. But it all deals with this whole stupid virus and how we're all getting just slammed behind our doors and we can't. You know, they don't want us interacting with one another. That's all part of the game, folks. And so now we go back to this commentary I'm sharing with you. I find this of greater interest, and it brings such joy to me to realize that a large number of people are beginning to realize, wait a minute. We don't need this. We don't need our kids going to school, getting indoctrinated, coming home, being little snowflakes and wanting to spend the rest of their lives living in our basements. There is a Boston College psychology professor and unschooling advocate. The man's name is Peter Gray. And he's written a book called Free to Learn. And he states that children come into the world burning to learn and genetically programmed with extraordinary capacities for learning. They're little learning machines. Within their first 4 years or so, they absorb an unfathomable amount of information and skills with no instruction. Nature does not turn off this enormous desire and capacity to learn when children turn 5 or 6. We turn it off with our coercive system of schooling. As humans increasingly coexist with robots, it's crucial that young people retain and cultivate the imagination, the ingenuity, the desire for learning, that separate human intelligence from its artificial antipode. These qualities can be ideally nurtured outside of a standardized, one-size-fits-all, United Nations-controlled school classroom where children and adolescents are free to pursue their interests and develop important skills and knowledge while being mentored by talented adults in their communities, not the public education system. I had a conversation with one of the counselors at my granddaughter's school today. She and I are relatively close as relates to the relationship that my grandfather or my granddaughter has. I mean, I'm the quote legal guardian, or I'm the guardian that she's that they contact with issues. And the counselor and one teacher, her English teacher, have remained in touch with me. The rest of them, for some reason, never knew, so didn't bother. They just thought that they dealt with the kid, and that was the extent of it. And I finally was able to raise enough stink that all of a sudden I've got teachers getting in touch with me, except for one, the Spanish teacher. As far as I'm concerned, she can go back to Ecuador. She's a piece of crap. She's done nothing but cause the grandchild problems all year. The granddaughter is doing exceptionally well. The grade goes up, and all of a sudden, bang, she gets slammed down for one reason or another. And I just finally said enough is enough. But unfortunately, we're so late in the school year with all this coronavirus, quote, homeschooling the kids are going through now. They can't remove a kid from the classroom, but the children are not allowed to get an F. The no child will be given an F for grade. Every day the kids get up, they've got, quote, homework. You know what the homework is? Each teacher sends a question to the students. The students must answer it. That's their entire day of study, answering one question with a yes or a no or a maybe or however they're going to answer it. What the hell kind of education is that? I'd rather they not even have it. I'm so sorry. The reason that they're really kind of creepy about making sure these kids send the yes or the no or the maybe answers or whatever is because for every kid that responds, that is the so-called attendance of the school that day. Because the school and the district and the state don't want to lose federal money now, do they? Oh, you see, that's what it's all about. The money. Let me give you a sample of the kind of learning we've been talking about. A series of spring daytime classes for homeschoolers at a place called Makerspace in Boston, which offers up to 9 hours of content each week and topics ranging from architecture and design to STEM science and art. It's all taught by trained engineers, scientists, and artists, not by your typical school teachers. None of them had the brilliance to go on and become an architect or a designer or a STEM, you know, etc., or an engineer. No, it was easier just to get the degree and become a teacher, and maybe you expand on and go get a master's, maybe you go etc., etc. But, and I'm not knocking all teachers, please. And it's not even all the teachers' fault. It's the fault of the system. But these kind of classes that they're doing in Boston are types of high-quality educators and learning experiences that can and do flourish when we seek and support education without schooling. Now, in addition to its health care or health scare, coronavirus has now triggered widespread fear about how children can be educated when they cannot go to school. Despite the fact that mass compulsory schooling is a relic of the industrial age, its power and its influence continue to expand. Maybe, just maybe, some families, your family, your neighbor's family, will now discover that education outside of standard schooling is not only nothing to fear, but my friends, it may actually be the best way to learn in the innovation era. Now, I want you to consider something, those of you out there listening tonight. And I know we've got a good number of retired people who listen to this program and all these programs. Think about this. Maybe you were a teacher back in the old days when you really taught. Maybe you were an engineer. Maybe you were a scientist. Maybe you were an art teacher. Maybe you were a music teacher. Maybe you were just a musician. Maybe you were a painter. Why don't some of you consider trying to get together with some of the people in the neighborhood and maybe their friends? Maybe there's something that you can offer. I'm a frustrated history teacher. I've been in the air for 25 years, and for some of you who may know me from back in the day, I've spent a lot of time teaching history on my programs for all these years, back in the days when I had full 1 and 2 hour and sometimes 3 hour programs. And I love doing it. That became the basis for what we have on the website, metropolis.cafe, the segment called Words and Deeds. Also, the segment called Mr. Adair's Classroom. A lot of it's intertwined between those two categories. And I continue to expand. In the first generation Federal Observer, which was founded 7 weeks before 9/11, much of what you now see in Words and Deeds was covered. I still have probably another 80 to 100 more pieces off the original Federal Observer to include in those classrooms. It's a place to take your children, your grandchildren, and say, let's go talk about history. Let's go over to Metropolis and see what Mr. Adair is teaching us today. Now, my friends, Mr. Adair has long since been deceased. He was my fifth grade teacher in 1958. His wife, just to give you an idea of his age, his wife, Mr. Adair was probably born back in the late 20s. The woman he married was a survivor of the attack on Pearl Harbor, a marvelous lady. And look, that's the kind of relationship we have with our teachers back then. You know, you see them in town. You were happy to see them at the store. You don't see that anymore. You rarely see that kind of stuff anymore. But I want some of you folks out there to think about it. Maybe you were a guy who worked at General Motors or Ford. You built cars. You don't think you don't have something to teach and add for these children to learn what tools are and how they work and what they're for. And like I say, mathematics. Maybe you were a mathematic major or a teacher or maybe you were a psychologist or whatever. I want some of you people to think about this because maybe you're not working right now. Okay? You've been sent home. Maybe you're retired now. A lot of us are nearing the end of our lives, and we don't care. I'm going to be gone soon. What the hell? I won't be having dinner with Hillary Clinton because I ain't going where she's going. Okay, that's great to say. Buck Mallard and I had that conversation a while ago. And the fact of the matter is that there are so many of us that have so much to offer to other children, to the young kids. Not just those members of our family, but other kids that maybe their families need some assistance because they are still working. The kids are home all by themselves. Doing what? You know, I look at these kids that, you know, my granddaughter is having a real difficult time trying to do her schoolwork without a teacher in front of her, without one-on-one, strictly on a computer that the school supplies. And it's like, wait a minute. You kids are on cell phones all day long. You can't stick your noses out of them. You're on other computers. You're playing video games. You're on maybe Facebook if you're old enough. Not that that matters. Most of these kids lie anyway. Instagram, some of the other things that the kids use. And if they're having difficulty doing schoolwork during these interesting times. I think we're better off to find a way to bring a group of kids home. teach them how to cook, teach them about food, teach them about spices, the difference between baking and grilling and you know, whether you're roasting a roast or a chicken or whatever the case may be. Make fun out of it. Give them something to be joyful about in their education. Not just have to go in and tolerate the bullies in the school or the members of the opposite sex that think they're a different sex than the one that they forget it. You know where I'm going with this, okay? We, as Americans and as adults, have some opportunities here that we may never see again. Oh, yeah, Dewey. Dewey Cocobot. What a real piece of work that guy was. And how about his buddy? I can't think of his name right now. Horace Mann. Another jerk. Had to come along instead of staying home. Yeah. That's my buddy Ken, stays in touch with me while I'm on the air. He stays in touch with me by text. And, well, yeah, looks like you're getting something else. You got a box coming, dear. There is what I've shared with you this last 30 minutes is entitled Coronavirus Reminds Us of What Education Without School Can Look Like. I got to tell you something, and I've shared this with some of you yesterday. There's a lot more here on Metropolis Cafe. It's not metropoliscafe.com. It's metropolis.cafe. A lot of the homeschooling stuff I've got published on the front page right now. Why? Because to me, this is one of the greatest opportunities that we have going on right now. And we may never have had this brought to us except for this garbage. In my opening statement in the category, when you go to the category page, and if you scroll down the right-hand side of the page, and you'll scroll down to about the fourth image, and it just says, I homeschool because I've seen the village and I don't want it raising my child. Click on that image. It'll open up the entire category, everything that I've ever posted in this site on homeschooling. I'm not telling you not to go to the other places, but my opening statement is this: for many, this is the one singular option that is available. It may not be for everyone, as there may be family or other issues which would prevent said option. However, think back. At one point in time, our parents were teaching us at home from the very beginning. In the early days of this nation, all the teaching was done at home. If one has concerns for the future of their children and the nation, this is where we should all be looking. And this opportunity is being placed in front of us right now. Some of the other headlines: what the homeschooling surge reveals about compulsory education. That is an interesting piece to look at, along with the video that's included in it. A woman who's just like totally messed up and confused because she doesn't know how to handle her kid being at home, and how's the kid going to do this in school, and blah, 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 blah. It's shocking. Another one that's not real long. Give me just a quick second, I'll take you into it. It's kind of unique. I can't get this thing to move here. What did I say the gal's name was? I can't remember. My problem is I didn't go to the library during the break, and Lord knows I need to go. I can't do a thing about it. Got it here. Yeah, we got it. Okay, got it. Hope you got it, Michael. Did you find it? I don't know. Good, he's got it. Oh, yeah, I'm looking forward to this one. Interesting piece called 13 Tips for the Unexpected Homeschooler. I mean, you never thought you'd do it. But along comes coronavirus and wham! Not the musicians. You're a homeschooler. You may think that these kids have got the life of Riley, regular homeschoolers with no schedule, no need for clothes other than PJs, and no obligations whatsoever. But successful homeschooling takes grit and surprisingly good manners to pull off. And there's some things that families can do and maintain balance and structure while running a school from home. And right now, that's what we have to be doing. Don't rely on your teachers that are back at school that your kids normally go to. It's time for you to take the responsibility. I'm just going to give you the brief stuff, the headlines. You're going to have to go in and read the whole article if you care. Create a command center for all things that are school-related, which will help you and your children maintain sanity. Make a list of what each person needs to get done in the day. Assess the responsibilities. Make everyone's time as productive as possible by planning strategically to help each student as needed. Set a family schedule, but remember, the schedule is your servant, not your taskmaster. If something isn't working, change it. And amongst the first things you've got to do is establish respect. Yeah. Have everyone get dressed first thing. I mean, get dressed like they're going to school. Well, I shouldn't say that, because the way an awful lot of these kids get dressed to go to school today is absolutely sickening. When my eldest granddaughter went to that school, they had somewhat more of a dress code. Now you've got girls wearing shorts in that school, their butt cheeks are hanging out. It's terrible. It's in a high school. Take the reins. You, the parents, the grandparents, the great-grandparents, you are in charge. What you say must go, or consequences will be faced, whether those be a no Paw Patrol for the little guy or no car privileges for the big one. Put your kids to work. Your house is going to be a little messier with more people at home. Manage the mess through structured pickup times by having kids do chores. This is a perfect time for your kids to learn how to wash clothes, scrub the damn toilet, which I was doing at the age of 8, and scrubbing the bathtub and the shower when I was a kid. Not anymore. My 16-year-old doesn't even know how to do any of that stuff, and it's very difficult to get her to understand it. But understand, while you're at home, we tend to kind of let manners slide. We let the kids kind of command rather than politely request. You've got to begin to institute and install these things, but make the work fun. You're in charge, but don't be the bad guy. Be magnanimous. Dance in the kitchen while the family cleans up after meals. Use sidewalk chalk to practice math outside. When the kids groan and moan and roll their eyes and say, ugh, hey, that's the worst, Mom, they don't mean it. They love it when you show them how to have fun while they get things done. You think they get to do that kind of stuff in school? Hell no. But remember to take some breaks. We used to call it recess. Take plenty of vitamin D breaks, soak up the sun, and then go back to work for a while. The out-of-doors is so good for the kids, might be the only safe place other than home, and why not have hold some of the classes outdoors? Kissed? Yeah. Keep it simple, teacher, and that is what you're about to become, a teacher. Not someone who just turns the kids loose to go to school and be indoctrinated by a bunch of people over there. You are about to become the teacher. Cooking, cleaning, playing, doing math, reading together, sharing the reading. Not you're just reading. Let the kids read back to you. Let them try to explain to you what that was just meant. But give them some incentives. And remember this, not the teachers at school. You are the best teacher for your child and your grandchildren and the neighborhood kids that may all come together and find a way to work together as families. Maybe next week the classes move down to the neighbor's house. But enjoy it all. Even my friends, when the times are tough, set the tone by keeping a cheerful disposition. With a good attitude, you might be surprised as to how much you cherish this time at home and with your kids. This, my friends, is what parents are made for. Embrace it. Enjoy it. And maybe one day you'll all realize that this has been a little bit good news today. That's the way I like to look at it. Let's cut and run. Have we got enough time to go ahead and put this song on now? And I got to go to the library, and I'll cut out of here and see you all tomorrow. Thanks a lot. I hope you've learned something. I hope you've enjoyed the time. Take care and good night.
I rolled out this morning, the kids had the morning news show on. Brian Tumble was talking about the fighting in Lebanon. Some senator was squawking about the bad economy. It's gonna get worse, you see. Need a change in policy. There's a local paper rolled up in a rubber band. One more sad story's one more than I can stand. Just once, how I'd like to see the headline say, not much to print today, can't find nothing better to say. Because nobody robbed a liquor store on the lower part of town. Nobody OD'd, nobody burned a single building down. Nobody fired a shot in anger, nobody had to die in vain. Sure could use a little good news today. Come home this evening, I bet that the news will be the same. Somebody takes a hostage, somebody steals a plane. How I want to hear the anchorman talk about a county fair and how we cleaned up the air, how everybody learned to care. Oh, tell me, no. A little good news today. Nobody robbed a liquor store on the lower part of town. Nobody OD'd, nobody burned a single building down. Nobody fired a shot in anger, nobody had to die in vain. You sure could use a little good news.
Is the Second Amendment your line in the sand? Is the United States Constitution important to you? Are you worried about gun confiscation? You need to join us for free at gunconfiscation.com. At gunconfiscation.com, you will meet like-minded patriots, get the latest Second Amendment news, and find anything you need to prepare for gun confiscation. Visit gunconfiscation.com today. That's gunconfiscation.com. Which side are you on?
TalkRight, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today from Google Play or the App Store.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.